The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. So let's say good morning to our neighbors to the left and to the right. Okay, as we know, this is our April Thanksgiving service, and we are grateful to God. And it's April already, if you know what that means. It means that if you have a plan, if you had a vision, if there are open doors that God has set before you this year, this is the fourth month. You have to engage. You have to begin to take your ground. And there are many of you that have taken your ground and are taking grounds and territories. God will give you speed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This word God is bringing our way, God wants to transform our hearts and our lives completely. And that's my prayer. So we are in the fourth part of shut your door. Shut your door. So help look at your neighbor and say, shut your door. My brother, shut your door. My sister, shut your door. Holy words, long present for our work in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient word impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me. Amen and amen. So in part three, we began to see that closed doors is actually required for productivity. As you close your door and engage as God expects you to, your life begins to produce. You begin to multiply. So I pray that your life produces in the name of Jesus, produces greatness in the name of Jesus, produces life in the name of Jesus, produces kindness in the name of Jesus, produces abundance of wealth in the name of Jesus. So we said that you experience multiplication and you become productive when you shut your door, number one, to distraction. You need to shut your door to distraction. The woman in our text, in our story, in 2 Kings chapter 4, shut a door to distraction. You need to shut your door to distraction. Then number two, you need to shut your door to doubt. You need to shut your door to doubt. And number three, we learned last week that you need to shut your door to comparison. You need to stop comparing yourself. And we saw that the anointing of God upon your life works best when you stop comparing yourself to another person. Hallelujah. So our text remains 2 Kings chapter 4, 1-7, and I pick it up from where it says, Elisha said to her, to the woman, said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't borrow vessels filled with garri. Don't say, can you leave some rice in the vessel? No, empty. What God wants to do with you. Yes, you need vessels from your neighbor, but don't put any value in those vessels. Don't put anything of production in those vessels. Make sure they are empty vessels. I mean, this woman was going through a lot. And she could say, oh, God has said I should go and borrow a lot of vessels. If all these people won't put small beans for me, won't put small garri for me, won't put small rice for me, the other one put some palm oil, you know. The other one put small pepper in his own. At least we go chop. Now listen, God said to her, make sure they are empty vessels. You see, it's so powerful. So powerful, because if they are not empty vessels, if one neighbor left oil there for her, then she begins to enter into this abundance. The neighbor will claim credit that it is my oil that I gave you as seed investment. In fact, we need to share this profit. Remember what Abraham said to the king of Sodom when they came back from war. He says, so that I may be small today. I may not be big today, but keep the loot. Keep your wealth so that tomorrow you will not say, I made Abraham great. We need to be careful the people we receive help from. You see, some people, they will remind you that we were the one that made you. We put oil in the vessel for you. If not for us, where would you be? God will not share his glory with anybody. So God himself said, make sure they are empty vessels. So when you are returning, you are only obliged to return what? Empty vessels. Now, God is teaching us a life lesson. The fact that you need help or you are in a strait does not mean you should get help from everybody. You know, when you're going through a challenging period, it's not everybody you receive consolation from. You see, people don't get it. There are some people, they are happy to come and say sorry for you. Keep them out of the room, because God is going to transform your life and they will have no part in it. Make sure the verse, we've read this passage of scripture, you know, we've thought from it over and over and over again. Every time, beautiful things just begin to pop out from this passage of scripture. God said to her, empty vessels. Make sure they are empty vessels and do not gather just a few. Gather as many empty vessels as you can, because you can return empty vessels as is. You may not be able to return the oil as is if it contained oil. You may not be able to return the rice as is if it contained rice. People will remind you. And God says, I will share my glory with no man. And when you have come in, you shall shut your door. Shut your door. You borrowed the empty vessels from them. Shut your door. What I'm about to do, eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. It has not even entered into the heart of men. It says, then pour. Are you ready to pour, my brother? Are you ready to pour? Pour this into all those vessels and set aside the full one. Don't stop pouring until they are full. So we said shutting your door that leads to productivity. You have to shut your door against distractions. You have to shut your door against doubt. You have to shut your door against comparison. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your glory will burst forth. Oh, your glory will burst forth in the mighty name of Jesus. The beauty of open doors that God is leading us into, that requires you to shut your door, is not... One of the saddest things is to see someone that could have been a great CEO but never ran a business, never became one. In fact, one of the if I say this, you know the person in this country is late today. The top people in this country, one of the top person in this country, when this person passed on, the person said, oh, that was a president Nigeria never had. You know, people are just, you know, it will not be said of you that was the president Nigeria never had. For the presidency that God has for you, it will not be said of you that, oh, is a billionaire that never happened. It will not be said of you that is a husband material that never married. It will not be said of you. You are wife material, 20 yards. Oh, yeah. But she was prepared, she was ready, but she never got married. It will not be said of you. You are ordained to be the father of nations, but you never had children. It will never be said of you. Oh, you are fruitful, but you never got married to a place of never, ever, ever having children. It will never be said of you. So, this shut doors, shutting your door to be productive, is not so that your productivity will show forth to the world in the name of Jesus. Your glory will burst forth in the name of Jesus. The light that God is lit in the dark room, God will put it upon the mountain, upon the shelf for the world to see in the name of Jesus. You will not be prepared for nothing. You will be prepared to be deployed in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not be filled with anointing. There are some people, they spend time with God, they are so anointed, but they have no platform. They have no platform. Listen, it's not everybody that is, a lot of people are just making noise. They are not really anointed. So you look at, this one is anointed, but it has no platform. It's built nothing. It has no influence, but it's genuinely, and she's genuinely anointed. Yet, there are those that are not anointed. They have the biggest mouth, pulling the biggest crowd. And it's just like a misnomer. I've seen servants and horses and princes walking on foot. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will not be a prince that walks on foot. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will not be a princess that walks on foot. In the mighty name of Jesus. That hearse, you will be on it. You will sit on it. That is what this door or this year of open doors is about. The door will open for you. You will sit on that house. You will sit on that throne in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It will be said of you, you are husband material and you are happily married. It will be said of you, you are wife material and you are happily married. It will be said of you, you are father of many nations and you have many children. It will be said of you, you are a fruitful woman and you bore plenty strong women, strong children. In the name of Jesus, it will be said of you, you are the president. Nigeria has the best one Nigeria has. It will be said of you, you are the CEO that comes into existence. It will be said of you, you are the billionaire that was prepared, whose time has come and has happened. Doors will open for you of their own accord in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What God is saying to us in this series, however, is that development in private is what ensures deployment in public. Development in private is what ensures deployment in public. Development in private is what ensures deployment in public. You know, I know these terms, if you are a tech bro or a tech sis, you already understand what I'm doing with this term. You know, you develop code in private. Nobody develops code in public. You develop code in private, but you deploy it in public. When code is developed and it's developed and you've pushed it for several iterations, gone through testing, gone through several environments, the dev environment, gone through QA, gone through staging, then it's now in production. When you see a finished product in production, when you download an app and the people that made the app are making millions of dollars, and you say, oh, Mitra, I want to make an app, and you put it on Twitter, I'm going to make an app. No, they don't make apps on Twitter. You put it on Instagram. Oh, this app is going to... No, it is after the app has been developed in private that it has earned the right to be deployed in public. So you see that development in private ensures deployment in public. So what's prepared in secret becomes powerful in service. What is prepared in secret becomes powerful in service. It does. The mistake people make is that they see you deployed. They're like, where did she come from? Where did he come from? You know, I remember years ago, we sent the people from CROC to, was it Atlanta? For training. So there was this conference in Atlanta that, you know, people from CROC, you know, went, you know, the church sent them for training and they were deaf, you know, I mean, to expand their minds, to mingle with global children's church teachers, to learn processes and stuff. So they were there, they were having fun, they learned a lot, and there was another church, you know, from Nigeria that was there, that had a crew. So the pastor of the church was there. It's a big conference, but I didn't go. I didn't think I needed to go because, I mean, people, you know, that do the work should go. So, you know, he was there with, of course, his team. And my people came back and they said to me that this pastor walked up to them and said to them that, what's the name of your church? And he said, God's family. I said, who is your pastor? I mean, can you imagine that? So, who is your pastor? They said, Febi Monet. Who is he? Who does he move with? wasn't moving. When they told me, I was surprised. You know, I was like, really? He said, yes. And they were just laughing that you don't know him. He doesn't make noise. He doesn't try to even be, you know, hobnob with people. You know, he's friendly, but he's not, he doesn't want to, you know, this person is my friend so that I feel cool. So when he came back and he told me, I smiled. You know, I've had a lot of people, and this was even years ago, you know, I've had a lot of people that said that, you know, you have a church in South Africa, in Panama, in Canada. When did you even start? You know, and I laughed. A long book go for Lenny. You know, you don't understand it. You know, what that means is that God is helping. He's not a so strong boy. It's not by power. It's not by power. So what others see as sudden success, God sees as sustained sacrifice. So everybody is looking at your, maybe in your trade and your craft and your consulting and or your business and your profession, and they see you as sudden success. But God sees your consistent, sustained sacrifice. And it is your consistent and sustained sacrifice that opens those doors for you. So it is the things you do in private. What happens behind that closed room of yours is what determines what flows in the open fields of the world. What happens in that closed room of yours? That is what actually determines what flows in the open field of the world. It is. Everything of value is primed in private. The most valuable resource on earth. Trust me. Are you ready for this? The most valuable resource on earth. You know what it is? The most valuable resource on earth is the voice of God. Is the voice of God. If you can secure it, you have something that is more than gold. The people that are digging for gold, gold is valuable. The people that are digging for oil is valuable. But if you can dig for his voice, if you can secure his voice, the most important thing on earth, the voice of God. Guess what? The voice of God is most clearly heard when the noise of men is absent. You need to shut that door to drill that voice, that oil of his voice. You need to shut that door. So, number one, shut the door to, come on, I can't hear you. Shut the door to what? Distraction. Number two, you shut the door to doubt. Number three, you shut the door to comparison. And number four, you shut the door. I mean, this is big. They all are big. This is huge. They all are huge. This is huge, huge. You shut the door to inactivity. To inactivity. There are a lot of people, they will shut the door, but they will do nothing. You are shutting the door. You are counting the stars. No, you are shutting the door. You are like, oh, I'm bored. Oh, what do I do now? Oh, pastor said you should shut the door. Oh, I've shut the door. I don't have anything to do. No. That inactivity, you need to shut the door to inactivity. You have to walk your faith. You need to walk your faith. You need to what? Walk your faith. God didn't drop money on our lap. You know, God didn't say, go to the room, shut your door, then money will fall on your laps. That's the idea. I mean, that is the idea of God a lot of people have. You know, that money will fall on your lap. God didn't say that. God didn't say that. God said, get vessels. Don't get a few. That is work. That's a lot of work. carrying vessels. And if you're anticipating what God wants to do, you won't go and bring one small kokolo vessel. You will go and be big vessel. Her and her sons worked hard. James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Is dead. Faith by itself. I must say by itself. If it does not have works, is dead. It's dead. Anointing without action will lead to stagnation. You need to shut the door to inactivity, because the oil didn't flow while she stood still. Now, you know, she has gathered all the vessels and she's like, oh, we have tried. No, the work is not finished. She now needs to start pouring. And once it's full, God did not say, an angel will come and carry it. So no, set it aside. You set it aside. Now you brought in a full, an empty vessel. A lot of them, they are big. A lot of work, they are tired. You are pouring. It's now full. God says, set it aside. It's still work to set aside. The miracle happened while she poured. She poured. You have to pour. So faith isn't just believing for it. Faith is working for it. It's also working for it. So faith is not just believing for it. You've believed for it. Praise God. Now you have to work for it. You need to shut the door at inactivity. You need to shut the door at just staring in the sky, at staring and just wondering and counting the speck on your ceiling. You need to shut the door at inactivity. It is inactivity that leads to worry. Did you know that? It is difficult to be worried while you're working hard. It's difficult. Your mind is free of worry. It's difficult to be depressed when you're working hard. It's difficult. It's difficult. It is powerful when you work and it produces. So faith isn't just believing for it. It is what? Working for it. Number one, you need to shut the door to what? Number two, you need to shut the door to. Number three, you need to shut the door to. Number four, you need to shut the door to. And number five, after you have shut the door to inactivity, you need to shut the door to small thinking. You need to shut the door to small thinking. See, I am praying that we get this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You need to shut the door to small thinking. You can say, oh, Pastor, is this just to think big? Mm-mm. If you follow the progression, by the time you get here, oh, you need to ensure that your mind is not now the bottleneck. You need to ensure that your mind is not the limitation. Why? Because capacity determines overflow. Capacity determines overflow. If you bring a vessel like this cup here, what it will take to overflow this cup is different for if you bring a cup this size here. So this cup, it will take not a lot. It's full. It's overflowing. But this cup, it takes a whole lot more. So it is the capacity of the vessel, of the cup. It is the capacity How does this apply to you and I? The capacity of our vessel is our minds. It's the capacity of your mind that determines the overflow. And I'm going to read this scripture, Ephesians 3:20. I think that you need to wrestle with this scripture until it becomes flesh in you. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." To him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So God's provision flows to the level of your preparedness. It flows to the level of your capacity. That's it. That's it. Remember, what is coming from is limitless. So if your capacity is so big and huge, it's not going to, they're not even going to feel it. They're not going to feel it. They're not going to feel like, this Femi boy has taken too much anointing. They don't feel it. He just received $100 billion. We need to check our account in heaven, whether it has, God does, there's no money in heaven. They don't deal in those currencies. The only currency in heaven that you trade with as regards to us is what? It's hunger. I've taught you that before. It is hunger. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? That's the currency you use to buy in heaven. The currency to buy anointing is hunger. It's not anything else. Someone can lay hands on you 10 times if the hunger is not there. So the widow determined the size of a miracle by the number of vessels she gathered. You know, she determined the size of a miracle. God doesn't say gather, don't gather a few. Some people don't gather a few means I shouldn't take one, let me take three. Some people don't gather a few means I shouldn't take one, no, let me take 20. Some people don't gather a few means let's take 100,000 vessels and pack this house. So don't gather a few. God left it to our interpretation. It was determined by her. So your expectation is the lead on your overflow. Your expectation, your hunger is the lead, is what puts the barrier to it. Enlarge your faith. Enlarge your expectations. Watch God blow your mind. Watch God blow your mind. The beauty of this is, like I said, there is no limit in God. None. God is limitless. It's boundless. So the size of your miracle is limited only by the number of your vessels. That's big. How do I increase my vessels? How do I enlarge my mind? How do I? So that's why you need to wrestle in the Word of God. That's why you need to listen to big thinkers. That's why you need to associate with big thinkers. You know, remember, you are the average of the three people you spend the most time with. Who are the three people you spend the most time with? Outside of your spouse or your children, you are the average of those three people. Wow. Are they small-minded people? Are they big thinkers? You know, when big thinkers talk, or People think they are crazy. People think, why is he saying that? Oh, who does he think he is? You know, that's why you are small. Because instead of you to step back, I'm like, ah, why? How is this guy thinking? Like, when I meet with people that have done great things, I've had the privilege to meet with some people that are mighty thinkers, people that have done great things in this life. So one of them, I was talking with him, and he was sharing his principles, and he was looking at me, and he was like, am I listening to his principles? I said yes. He said he can tell that I'm not just listening to his principles, that I'm looking at him, and I'm listening to how he is thinking. You know, I'm like, this guy is so smart. You know, because that was what I was doing. Yes, I was taking down the principles. That is why people are taking down principles. Tire. Nothing they happen. They've taken out, they've listened to this person. Oh, 10 steps to prosperity. Oh, 20 steps to ABC. Oh, 3 steps to unfailing abundance. Oh, you write these 3 things down. For a lot of people, it's still nothing. Why? Because if I'm talking to someone that is not telling me theory, it's not that he's crammed principles from books and is now telling me. This is someone that lives these things. I see the proof of his life. I'm sitting down with him. He's giving me those principles. I'm writing them down. But beyond that, I'm looking at him. I'm connecting to how he's thinking. How is this person thinking? Okay, this principle that he has given. You are reading something in the book. That's also what I do with books. I'm trying to connect to the mind of the author. What is he thinking? How is his mind working? If you can't learn not just the principles, but the mechanics of the mind that births the principle or operates the principle, you will come out a different person. Your own mind will be stretched. That is how minds get stretched. Minds don't get stretched by cramming 10 steps to X. Mind gets stretched. You've taken one step and then you regurgitate. And then you're like the thinking behind it. And you connect to the thinking behind it. Then you can reproduce it. You can reproduce it. The widow's story shows us a powerful truth. And this truth is productivity, increase, and miracles. They don't happen in public view. They don't happen in the public. They happen behind closed doors. They happen behind closed doors. When you shut your door to distraction, you shut your door to doubt, you shut your door to comparison, you shut your door to inactivity, you shut your door to small thinking, you make room for God's supernatural provision. You do. And that will be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So the question for you today, again, is, are you ready to pour? Are you ready to pour when you shut your door? To wrap up the whole series, this is Thanksgiving service. We still need to dance, you know, and thank God. To wrap up the whole series, when you shut your door, you mingle with things that pertain to direction. You hear from God. You are mingling with destiny indicators, pointers, direction. So you need to shut the door. When you shut the door, you are mingling with devotion. You don't just get direction, you get devotion. And what devotion does is it creates friendship. It creates friendship. You are developing relationship with God. So direction, for those that come to God, they are just praying for direction. When you get direction and you get up and you go, after Hey, well, the direction you have gotten, you get to a point that you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do next? Then you're not coming back for more direction. So all you need is direction. But if you stay, yes, you have direction, but you engage in devotion. You build a relationship with Him. So that when you're out of direction, He's still there with you to give you more direction, to give you more protection, to give you more comfort, to give you more promotion. You build relationship, devotion. And devotion does not only build relationship with Him. Guess what? Devotion builds relationship with yourself. The Word of God is a mirror. You begin to see yourself. You begin to know who you are. Now, one big challenge is most people don't even know themselves. They don't know themselves. Are you aware of yourself? Do you know yourself? That's what, when you shut your door, you mingle with direction, you mingle with devotion. Then you mingle with development, the things that pertain to development. You begin to grow capacity. You begin to grow. You begin to develop. You begin to develop. You begin to develop direction, devotion, develop. And as you develop, it leads to discipline. Because as you develop, you are able to build consistency. As a child develops, the child becomes more disciplined. The child is able to build more consistency. You're able to build capacity. Consistent capacity. Consistent capacity. Then direction, devotion, development, discipline only lead to one thing. Demonstration. Hallelujah. Seeing results. We will see the results of your life. In the name of Jesus, you will demonstrate all that God has deposited in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not be a light under the bushel. You will be a light for the world to see. Your demonstration will appear to all men. Your profit will appear to all men. It is never God's will for you to die full of all the anointing and the grace that God has given you. As someone says, you should die empty. You should pour everything you have and bless the world and bless us. Some of you, we want to read your books. Some of you, we want to watch that skit. We want to watch that movie. We want to see that business. We want to see you become a billionaire. We want to see you thrive and bless us with all that God has done in you. So as you shut your door and engage, you get direction. You mingle in devotion. You begin to have development. Then that development leads to consistency and discipline. And inevitably, demonstration. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your light will shine forth for all to see. No hand will be able to cover your glory. In the name of Jesus, the heat of your life, the fire of your life, burns off every hand that attempts to cover your glory, because your light cannot be hindered in the name of Jesus. And so it is and shall be in Jesus. And if you're there, you're like, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. I need this in my life. I need to follow God. You want us to pray? We want to pray with you. If you're online, if you're in church, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to Him. Oh, I used to be with Jesus, but I've gone back. Can I come back? Can you pray with me? Yes, we want to pray with you. Wherever you are right now, that is you. Put up your hand. Boom. Now, over your head. Put that hand up. Keep it up. and we'll turn it over to the RP.
Amen. Please, can we all bow our heads, eyes closed for privacy? You've heard the call. You want to surrender, which is your starting place, really, before you can go through the next steps. You are here this morning and you know you need to surrender your heart to Jesus. Will you put up that hand right now so that we can put a card in your hand? We're not asking you to come forward. We just want to be able to pray with you, like you heard Papi say on the teaching. Just put up that hand right now so that we can put a card in your hand and then pray with you. And if your online instructions are already scrolling, please send your contacts to that email address provided on the screen. One more time, you know that you should not leave this place the same way you have come. You know that you need to settle it today. You need to surrender. Please put up that hand right now so we'll pray with you. Don't worry about anybody else. It's your decision to make. It's your life to live. It's your journey to take. You need to put up that hand now. We'll pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your children that are surrendering their hearts to you, Lord, here in this place and online. Lord, your word says you stand at the door of their hearts and they knock. You open up, Lord, you come in and you make a feast to them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare that everyone whose heart is surrendered to you today, Lord, will experience a transformation in Jesus' name. They will begin to have direction. They'll grow influence into you. And Lord, their lives will be full of evidence. Thank you, faithful Father. Honor and glory be given to your wonderful name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Wow, let's give the Lord a big hand for that amazing, amazing teaching. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.